that the Lord make it possible to be with me in London. It is the first time for me to be here. And I feel great because it is not easy to travel from South Sudan up to London. I'm now 50 years old. All this year I didn't know anything about London, but I just learned about London. But God make it possible now for me to be here. I feel proud. I'm thankful for Pastor David, who really care for us. He need us to share with you. And I'm so happy to see the beautiful children of God, that fellowship together like this. I give thanks to the Lord for being here. I have 4 children, 2 sons and 2 daughters. And I'm having a beautiful wife called Lucy. She sent her greeting to all of you. She said, when you reach London, pass my greeting to any congregation that you get them. But the Lord has designed you for me to see you. This is so wonderful. I was in Southern Sudan since I was born. During the rest of the war years, I was there in South Sudan. 21 years, I was in Juba, and also the present situations that is now already operating in South Sudan is still God make it possible for me to be in South Sudan. I thank him because he kept me alive. I became a bishop after 4 years, after a long suffering in the field. It's not easy, you know, to be a servant of God. But when God calls you, it cannot be impossible. His will be done. Through the prayer and through your prayer to South Sudan, we achieve our independence. But now the present situations that spoil all the beautiful nation that the Lord has given to us is the problem of the political situations in our nation. That really have broken down our heart. You know, I do recognize what the Lord has said in the book of Psalms 30, chapter 34, verse 8. He said, the Lord is near to the broken-hearted family. So he cannot forget us. He will be with us. He can save us through your prayer. So we are really in pain. All these years, all this month from 15th of December up to now, we thank your brothers who are here. They care for us. Especially Barnaba International Aid, or Barnaba Fund, and Friend of South Sudan and Sudan. These people work with us. They connected us during the incident. So they happen to support the displaced people of war. They send some feeding supports and medicines that guarantee the life of people who are there. You see, the 10 states has really lost the beautiful peace that God has given to us. Now the worst state is 3, Upper Nile State and Jonglei State, then Unity States. These people ran towards our states. I'm a son of Nimle. Nimle is toward the border with Uganda. So all those people ran to Nimle. About 55 IDPs. They are suffering. Up to now, they are still suffering. The support given to them has not been enough, but it kept them to be alive. To make it worse, what has happened now is that there's no schools. Children are suffering, dying, and there's a lot of disease. There's no competent people. These days, if you didn't really have God, or you don't have heart to serve in South Sudan, you cannot remain there. Those who are able, they are here. They came to London. They are in Australia. They are in America. They are in Uganda and Nairobi. So these are the people who know that they can escape war. But you cannot escape from the eyes of the Lord. Yeah, the most important thing for us is that we need to trust God. When we trust Him, He's able to care for us and is able to bring peace. So what we are requesting from you is the support of the school's children. Because now those children whose parents are venerable, and moreover, most of them, the parents have been killed. The children are just left without parents. They are suffering, and they are under the shade. You see, there's no shelter for them. And this year, the rain came late, and it's raining too much. Most of the Juba town became flooded. And even the countryside, there was no good yield of the food. So now the situation is becoming dark. And still the war is going on. So we didn't know what to do. So we are requesting your prayer that the Lord should intervene so that we again go back to enjoy that peace with you. Because when there's peace, you're most welcome. You can come so that we share the word of God together. And when there's peace, development can go. Now, if those who are able can send their children to London, can send their children to Australia, to America, to Nairobi, where there's no war, what about those venerable children? Sometimes maybe some of them may be ministers, some of them may be pastors, some of them may be able to do the work that can really let our nation grow. What will happen? So these people cannot be able to come up. So we need peace. We need support. And we need a truth. The only truth that people may say, it will come from us, the church, not from the government. The government may politicize, you see, the situations. They can tell something that can really not be true. But the church will tell you the truth. I cannot deny that. There's no war in South Sudan. There's war in South Sudan. You see, brothers killing themselves, brothers among brothers, which cannot really be helpful. So with all this, I cannot fear, because I know my Redeemer is living. Yeah, he can do something that I can't do. And one day, everything will be okay. My presence here is very important. It is a testimony. So we need you really to know how we are going, how the church is suffering. The present peace talks, which is now in Addis Ababa, is still vulnerable. It is not really having a strong hope. So we need prayer so that the pressure that the Western country has put with UK, maybe that one can prevail peace to our nation. It is not impossible, because to God everything is possible. Yeah, so maybe we can be here only 3 days according to our programs. Then after that we will be back. So we need you people to remember us when we are out from here. You pray for us so that we see things to move. My church is called Africa Inland Church. By then it was America Inland Mission. It exists since 1948. It has been situated from Torit. It has been managed by the American Inland Mission. Then after that, we got autonomy. Then we became Africa Inland Church. So it is operating now all over South Sudan. It has been up to Khartoum. But because of the separation now, we are operating within South Sudan. The church became very strong. And it's also making provisions of schools, supporting the vulnerable people. So what we now need is how long are we just going like that? Also, we need prayer so that we should be supported to pay the teachers, because most of the teachers sacrifice, themselves to teach. There's no salary. There's nothing that they can get. And also the pastors. Most of the pastors have suffered together with us in the Republic of South Sudan. Since 21 years, and even now, this pastor did not get access to go out. They remain in Juba, and up to now, they are vulnerable. There's no way to support them. So we need prayer for them also, so that they will come up to build the Church of Christ very strongly spiritually. These are the situation that we are in. So now we are moving forward to see to it that let the school exist. The best schools, by the way, that we have in South Sudan is the church school. The government school are not operating well because these people, they didn't want to build very nice schools. They send their children outside South Sudan. Their children are not there. Whether the family of the president, the family of the ministers, the family of the directors, even the bishops that belong to other tribes, their family are not there. Their family are also scattered all over the world. So now those who are there are really those who are unable to support themselves. So still God is helping them. They are clever. They are passing ahead, going to university, doing whatever the Lord wants them to do. And they stand strong in faith. So now probably our vision is that we need to stand firm in building the church in South Sudan, because we are still awake that Islamization may arise again. Because all these days you can see, because of the present situations, the number of Islam are growing, you know, in South Sudan. So they are coming up. If you see during the Ramadan season, people are many. You can even wonder. I was wondering one day when I saw them in television, I say, oh God, what is happening? You see, because our pastors are not able now to go and evangelize people. They cannot get access of transport. They cannot go far to preach. People are within. But other family who are far away from the town and the places where they are, there are wars and there are hatred, so they cannot really resist. So we need now some support, some help, so that these pastors will move. We have the mission office within our church. That mission office is very strong. They are just struggling now to get out. Sometimes they can use footage. Sometimes they can just get some means if the Lord provides for them. It's not concerned. So these are the situation that we are in. So you people here, for not for nothing, but you are here for a purpose. God has called you. You pray for us. And also, you visit us. Don't remain here in London. Visit us in South Sudan so that we pray together, see by your eyes. Then after that, we will build strong church. Though the Christians are really very strong in South Sudan, but still we need your help. You know, when the situation is bad, the Holy Spirit works harder. The Holy Spirit works harder than before when their situation is going bad. You see, so these are the testimony that we have during all this incident that has happened. We work together with my colleagues, Bishop Raphael. We work together with the fund that has been sent by Barnabas Fund. We organize, you know, the venerable people, the women, the children. We support them. Although people are dying and there was a very serious disease, cholera was there. So we really managed to stop other things. This is because of your help. So it is very important. Don't forget us. We will still stand together with you. So I give thanks to the Lord, because maybe your time is very short. You know, sometimes we are the preacher, we can talk 2 to 3 hours. But I may stop here. Next time, I will also get opportunity. So I leave my greeting to you and the greeting of my family. You continue to pray for them. My daughter has finished secondary school, is going to university. The firstborn has gone to university. But I'm cultivating, although I'm a bishop like this. We are not getting salary. We bishop in South Sudan, we are not getting money. We are cultivating also. You see, when you cultivate, you can get a good crop yourself. Then you send your son and daughters to school. Tomorrow, they will be responsible people also to help to build a nation. This is what we are doing. So we need to pray for them so that God bless them. Thank you. May the name of the Lord be praised. In Jesus' name, thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, Bishop Martin. Bishop Raphael, please come.
Praise the Lord. He has been talking about South Sudan, but now I'm going to talk about the Word of God. Amen? Okay. Before I talk, let us pray. Lord, I thank you for this wonderful time. You made it possible for us to come together and to come to London, oh God, in your own way. And you have a purpose and a plan for us to come here. God, as I'm going to say your word, may your Holy Spirit show me the way, guide me, and use my word, oh God, to bless our people. Bless us all together as we listen from your word. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, thank you. Before I say the word, I want to introduce myself so that you know who am I. I'm called Raphael Kenyi from South Sudan. We came, we are 8 leaders from South Sudan. Others are in other churches, so we managed to come here too. I'm from Sudan Pentecostal Church. I'm calling Sudan Pentecostal Church because we have churches in northern Sudan. Also, we have churches in southern Sudan. Although our country is divided, but still as a church, we are one. That's why we are calling ourselves Sudan Pentecostal Church. Our church started in South Sudan in the 70s. So we are almost now approaching 30 years in South Sudan. And I'm a bishop in our church. I'm married. I have 3 children. And we are now with my wife about, now remain 1 man. Will be 30 years in the marriage. So I'm now 54 years. And my children are now grown up. The last, my wife said we still not call her the last. So we are calling her the youngest. So the youngest is now about 14 years. So it seems she's still expecting that there should be another child. So, but we thank God that they are doing well and they are grown up. I think that's just briefly about myself. We want to hear from the word. My text, which I've taken, is Proverbs 16 from verse 1 to 9. So it says, the perpetrators of the heart belong to the man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the way of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weigh the spirits. Commit your work to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. And the Lord has made all of himself. Yes, even the wicked for the day of doom. Everyone proud in his heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished. In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity. And by the fear of the Lord, one depart from evil. When a man ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is little with righteousness than vast revenue without justice. The last verse. A man's heart plans its way, but the Lord directs his steps. So this is the text. And I prepared, this is, I'm reading from King James, but I prepare my sermon from NIV, New International Version. So, here, the topics I'm going to talk about is secret of success in Christian work. Secret of success in Christian work. See, there are many Christians, but they're not successful. Many Christians, they are not successful in their Christian work. Why? Because of some reasons. I have listed here many. There are many, but I will just summarize them slowly, slowly. There are about 7. I will not talk lengthy, but I will emphasize on 3. Number one, the real secret, according to the text here, is commitment to the Lord. Commitment. There are many people who are Christian but are not committed to be a Christian. There are many, many Christians in the world, but you see, I call it a big question mark in the life of a Christian. A big question mark. The question mark is, yes, you are a Christian. Yes, you are born again. Yes, you are baptized. Yes, whatever you mentioned them, they are there. But are you committed? That is the question. Are you committed? Committed in what? Committed in faith. Are you, am I committed in my Christian faith? Commitment in what? Commitment in prayer. Now, these days, many Christians are not praying. If they are praying, they are traditional prayers. Those who are only praying for the sake because it is thought that they should pray. It is just, we have no difference with the Muslim. For Muslims, they are taught to pray five times in a day. So they are following, it's a routine. But it is not touching. It is not coming from the heart. So now, as Christian, these days, it is difficult, especially in a town setting. It is difficult for Christian to pray and fast. They are not committed. People can fast sometimes they can fast. Others, if you call them for prayer, for fasting, you will find, now you are about 20 or 30 in this fellowship year. But if a pastor said, let us come for prayer and fasting, I don't know whether all of you will come. Might be 2 or 3 will be here fasting. But where are others? They are not committed to prayer. They are committed to what? I'm going to talk about it. The people are committed to something. So if we want to see the change in our Christian walk, we want to see in our life, we want to see commitment. If you're committed, you will see success. Many people are not successful because they are not committed. Commitment to what? See, there are questions. If you are hearing, I'm talking. Commitment to the word. You see, now many people, if they are only reading Bible in the church, you see, I'm a pastor of engineers in Juba. There was a day I realized that engineers are not coming to the church. On Sunday, I called them back. I said, everybody who is engineer here, because of a new development there, all the engineers flock from the whole world. They are there in Juba. So I called them. I said, let all engineers remain behind. They were wondering, why is this pastor calling us back? Why? But they respected. They came. I said, you engineers, I've called you here. I have noticed you are good Christian. You are good believers. But you have a sickness. I said, pastor, what is our sickness? I said, I'll tell you. You have 3 sickness. And this sickness, if you don't overcome it, you will be a Christian by name. You say, tell us. I say, number one, you engineers, your sickness is you have less time to pray. You have enough time to plan. You plan. So you are wasting time in planning without God. Number two, you have less time to read your Bible. Because your time is reading what your career is all about. You are reading what your career is about. You don't read Bible. Number three, you have no time to come to church in other evening activities, only on Sunday. They say, Pastor, are you an engineer? I say, no. I'm not an engineer, but I'm a pastor. So they say, exactly what you are telling us is exactly what is happening with us. I said, because of this, you are dry. And the money you are getting is not even benefiting you. Because your money, all the time you find it is you're putting in your empty pocket. You are getting money, but the money is not helping you because you are doing it without God. So they say, now, Pastor, what can we do? What can we do now? I said, the only thing is this. I know you are all busy. You have no time to pray during the day. But can you spare only 1 hour? 1 hour in the evening? They say, yes. I say, okay, now I leave everything to your hand. You engineers, you sit down, agree which date is good for you and which time. So that at least one in a week, you come and meet together to pray. Then choose for yourself a leader, because I cannot lead you. I don't have a language of engineers. I have a language of a pastor. But you yourself, you know your language. You know your what you can help yourself with. Then they did that. They came to me, they say, Pastor, now we have agreed. We have chosen one person, be our leader. We have agreed to have 2 days in a week. I said, no. 2 days is big for you. They said, no, Pastor, will you do it? I said, no, you cannot do that. I said, okay, what about the time? They said, we agree from 6 to 7, because there our work is ending at 5. Then from 6 to 7 in the evening, at least 1 hour, they will come. And her fellowship, then they go home. I say, yes, that is a good time. But you will not be committed to have 2 days. Mine, I need you to have only 1 day. I am agreeing with Wednesday. They took Wednesday and Saturday. I said, no, Saturday cannot work for you. Because Saturday is for your washing, Saturday is for what? There are many things in the weekend. So Wednesday, I agree. And I will come and I only attend once a while because I have many Christians. So they accepted. And after 2 months, they started only, they were only about 15. After 2 months, they became over 100. After 1 year, they filled the whole church. Because we gave them only a room where they could just have fellowship. It wasn't enough. They came in. They said, Pastor, thank you so much. You have helped us. Because we were wondering, what is the right time for us? They did not know what is the right time for them. To have time to read the Bible, time to pray, and time to encourage each other. So it was God who helped me to help them. And maybe I'm also here talking to somebody here. I'm maybe talking to somebody. You are not committed. You are a Christian, yes. No doubt. No question about being a Christian. But you are not committed to read your word. You are not committed to pray. You are not committed to attend prayer and fasting. You have no time. You are busy all the time. And God is speaking to you. What do you think is the best thing for you? So, that is the question. You answer yourself to help you. And if there's anything, you come to pastor, you agree, because for me, I will talk to you today. Tomorrow, next tomorrow, I'm going back to South Sudan. We are going to battle with our engineers there in South Sudan. So, point number two, which I want to talk about, is motive. Motive and purpose. For anybody, any Christian, to be successful is to have right motive and be committed to your purpose. What is your purpose in life? You see, sometimes we people who are living anyhow, we don't have purpose. You see, my children, well, they were young. I asked them one by one. I said, you, what is your vision? And all my children, they have their vision, and we are praying about their vision, and we are seeing their vision becoming true. Because I've imparted having vision in them while they are young. When I asked the elder one, I said, what is your vision? She said she wants to work in a bank. She wants to work in a bank. And now, she is this year going to university. And now she has done her training to work in a bank. After finishing, she will come and work in a bank. She said she's going to construct a very big bank. I don't know. That is her vision. And I'm praying. And I believe God is going to use her. Then the other one, I said, what is your vision? She said, for her, she wants to become a lawyer. Because I have all three daughters. She wants to be a lawyer. And now all her talks, whatever she's doing, there was a day a manager of bank came to visit us. Because we used to call her a lawyer. Then the manager said to question her. The way she was answering is just like a lawyer. Whatever she, even the question she was raising is just like a lawyer. At the end, this man said, I prove this lady is becoming a lawyer. And she has that interest, and she is planning for it. Then the youngest, we asked her, I said, what is your plan? She said, her vision, she wants to become a pastor. The wife said, no, my wife. She said, no. I don't want you to choose these kind of things. Your father suffered. I don't want you to suffer like your father. I said, you, don't suffer. That is her vision. In my time, I suffered. But in her time, she may not suffer. Whatever she has chosen, allow. That is her vision. So, what I want to say here is, what is your purpose in life? As a Christian, exactly what are you dreaming about? There are many things we are doing, but what is your purpose of being a Christian? What is the purpose of being existing as a Christian? We are existing here as a Christian. We are not staying here. We have our home. Jesus said he has going to prepare a place for us. There are rooms. Are you going to reach that room? That is the question. The room is prepared for everybody. But it is your decision, my decision, to reach that room. I can decide to reach this room. I can decide to go to hell. It is me. My pastor can preach nice to someone. I can pray good prayer. But what is my decision about myself? What is my purpose of life? That is a very important thing. Then the last, I will just talk about three. I don't want to go to the others because I don't want to talk much. Number three, honor God with your wealth. Let us read something in the Bible here, and then we'll conclude. Honor God with your wealth. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. It says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barn will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. You see, Bible says, honor God with whatever you have. Honor God with it. Now, for us as Christians, are we really honoring God with our resources? You see, I saw people are giving. Where is the... You see, people are giving tithes. And this envelope, this thing we are filled with other things. There are many things inside here, envelope and other things. I thought this thing was going to be filled with our offering, our gift, our tithes. You see, Pastor, many people are giving tithes. For me, I'm not calling them tithes. These are offering. Ask me a question, why? Why? Because you may have your salary. You may have your house. People are renting. You might have other business you are doing. Only people are paid tithes of their salary. The rent is not included. The business they are doing, other things somewhere, is not included in their tithes. That is no tithes. The Bible says bring the whole tithes. The whole. In Malachi, I thought you taught them. The whole thing. In my house. Then you will see the blessing. He said he will only open for you what? Only window, not door. Pastor, he taught them to open that. He will open doors of blessing. No, in the text, Bible says he will open the window only, the window. If you see, if for a Christian, if the door of blessing is open to you, you will forget God. You see, for example, if you are getting your salary in a month, you are getting, let me say, this is, I don't know, this is pound, I know dollars. If you are getting $5,000 every month, then just because God wants to bless you, you start to get your salary $2 million every month. $2 million. Dollars, I don't know pound here, how much it is. So if you are getting $2 million every month, will you remain in the church? You'll be planning of doing this, planning of buying a house, planning of doing what? Even planning of buying plane. So your mind will be planning, doing things, forgetting coming to church. So God is opening windows. That window is enough for you. Enough for me. For blessings. So now, the big question here is this. Are you, am I, committed in my giving of my tithes and offering? Am I committed? Other people, I don't know here, Pastor, in South Sudan, where people, this man, they will pay tithes, the other man, they will jump. They say, no, I have that issue, I want to solve it first. Then, they will give it 2 to 3 months. They will miss some 4 or 5 months. So, oh, sorry. This man, I don't give. They will give. I don't know whether they're here. They are not committed in their tithes. Mine, I started giving my tithes since 1983, since I got born again. How many years now? They are used here. My daughter, how many years? Up to now. How many years? 31 years. I have not stopped giving my tithes. No single day. Whatever I got little, as you see, with sometimes we are volunteers. But whatever I have got from that volunteer, whatever I got, I will give it. And that's why God is blessing me. I'm seeing his blessing. And I have a lot of testimonies because God is blessing me. I'm committed in the small tithes I'm giving. So are you committed? If you are committed, then you will honor God with your giving. But if you are not committed, sometimes you might be giving what? Only offering. You thought it's a tithes, but it's only offering. Because it's not complete, not full. So it is, if you have business somewhere, you from that business, little how much it is, give the tithes. Whether you have something, your car is rented somewhere, where if there's something from there, that is called complete full tithes. My daughter, my brother, that is what God is saying, talking about you. Thank you so much. Now, to conclude, I said I was going to end here. But the number 4 is seek first the kingdom of God. The sickness is the secret is first seek first the kingdom of God. And then Bible say what? The other thing will be what? They will be added. Added. They will be added. You see now in this generation, that's why now even the church here, your number is small. Because people are not seeking first the kingdom of God. People are seeking what? People are seeking, I put here 4 things here. Number 1, people are seeking technology. Technology. People are after technology. That's why now you don't see young people in the churches here. Maybe, thank God, you have at least two or three in your church. But other churches, you'll find that this group are here and now in London in school, in the churches. On Sunday, you'll find them. Few. But they're committed. And God is going to bless them. And God is going to bless their family. Because they were the people who got the foundation right. By their time, there was no technology. That time it was that phone, they call it what? The phone which you ring it. It is called what? The telephone. There's a terrible telephone. They call it what? Landline. Yes, I'm looking for the name. Landline telephone. Where you put it, you ring it, then after that you communicate. That is that technology. It was very light. But now ours, you see children. There was a day we were talking. Somebody said, remain 2 to 3 years. Our children will not point finger like this. If they want to point thing, they will point it like this. I don't know whether your children, you know. All the time, their hand, their finger is in mobile, in computer, just like this. Even he was telling us that soon, even when they want to open TV, instead of opening like this, they will touch it like that. Technology. And he told us, he said, if you want to know, technology is now very high. That's why young people are not coming to church. If you want to know, go and buy electronic things in the market. You don't know how to pray, take it to your child. Your child will pray to you now. He said he bought a very big radio. He brought it from America. He brought a radio. From there, he was shown how it was going to be operated. But when he reached home, he did not know. When he said, my son, come. He said, what is the problem? He said, you see, I have a problem with this. Just within 2 minutes, he operated. And then there was a day he went to a shop to buy this iPad. Phone. He said he wanted the simplest one. The simplest. So he went to the shop. He could not get the simplest one. Everything he sees, there's a computer, there's what. He managed to acquire one. So when he said now, he wanted the simplest one. Then the shopkeeper asked him, now don't disturb my mind. Don't you have a child at home? If you don't know, your child will train you. So technology. Now, young people are running after technology. They are not after the church. They don't run after Christ. If you tell them to come to Christ, they don't come. But you bring technology, you will see how young children will rush. Technology is making people not to see God first, but they're seeking what? Technology first. Then number two, what people are seeking? People are seeking their job. Every time people are running around from morning. I don't know whether here, because of, I don't know whether there's a traffic jam here in London. You see people, because of traffic jam, people leave their homes early in the morning at dawn, because they want to do what? They want to reach to do their business before they are caught up. People are committed to their job than committed to God. Here, people are coming to attend service at what time? At what time, Pastor? Your service here? 10:30. But are they coming at 10:30? No. They are coming at 11, 12. Even others are just, when we are almost concluding, they are arriving. But in their job, are they doing that? Is there someone doing that in their job? No. Because if you delay, it is choked. Then you will suffer. Then the third thing here. People are committing professionalism. What is a profession? How level, your level of education? You see, I don't know here. In Khartoum, when young people live together, they meet together for a meeting, they said, I'm a graduate. If the first thing they want to introduce is that I'm what? Graduate. I have knowledge. If you find among them here you're not a graduate, seem you're what? You're nothing. People are after what? Knowledge. People are after qualification. Papers. PhD, what? People are there. People don't think that. You see, the disciples of Jesus, they were not much learned, only except Paul. But they were influential. They were doing good things. Education is good. But what I'm saying is that put God first. Then let the other thing, what? Come in. Let it be added. And God will bless you. So let us pray for our generation because of this thing. Now, young people are not in the church. But if you say there's what? Welcome. Oh, you will see how people spend money in the World Cup. Although they are defeated, but still they will pay a lot of money. But in the church, young people are not there. You who are young here, thank God. You may have technology, you may have enough money, you may have what, but don't allow those things to take your mind away from your God. Be committed to God, because all these things will remain here. If I got everything which is needed in the world here, and I miss Jesus, I miss heaven, what is my purpose of life? It is better I go to heaven, I get all this, I get them, and then I go to heaven. That is great. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So it led us as purpose in our life. Let us be committed to our God so that we are successful. Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit need every Christian to be successful. Successful in being a Christian, successful in being committed to Him, successful financially. You see, some people think that Christian or believers are poor. No. Abraham was not a poor man. Was Abraham a poor man? Solomon. Was he a poor man? No. You see, when missionaries brought us this preaching of the gospel, they deceive us. That because of that woman who have given her last coin. So the people are giving last money. Here, if you open this offering here, people who are giving offering tithes, but offering, they are giving less money. The last unit. That the woman, according to the Bible, says she has given what she has. All that was what she has. But ours, we are giving it. Somebody ever, I don't know. The last amount here is what the last big. No. The biggest, yes. 100. You see. Here, the person may have 100, the person may have 50, the person may have 20, 10. Then a person will give what? 5. He has all this in the pocket, but he will give what? Only 5. The smallest unit. And God is not happy with that. Give what God has given in your heart. If it is your heart, from your heart, when you are coming home, you said, from my heart, I will give this 5. That is what is in your heart. And God will give this to you. So it depends on what is in your heart. What choice you have to say. So thank you. I cannot talk much. Two preachers can speak the whole time. But I don't know. Here, sometimes people are only preaching for 30 minutes. And for us here, we preach for 2 hours. So. I believe I've not gone beyond the time, Pastor. Thank you so much. May God bless you.
We're going to pray for Bishop Martin and Bishop Raphael, but before we do that, let's let's pray for ourselves. And whatever it is that Holy Spirit has been convicting you of, then pray in that. Your time, your wealth, your priority, whatever it is that Holy Spirit's been convicting you of, then let's pray through that before we pray for our guests. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you take the written word of God and that you give it power and action. You give it direction. And God, I pray that the course you have set for your word in our lives will be completed. That not only will we receive your word this morning, but we would follow your word as we live our lives. God, thank you that you have called us to follow, that you've called us to be disciples, that you've called us to be those who learn continually, that you have called us to be those who are committed, motivated, purposeful. And God, thank you that even now you reset on course those areas where we've drifted, or even perhaps in defiance set a course against your word. God, thank you for your grace. Thank you that you do not treat us as we deserve, but you give opportunity. God, in the silence and in the space that we have now, we take that opportunity. I have a picture of someone who, when they were a child, actually set themselves on a course against God, knowing that that was the case. I don't know in which area it was, but if there's anyone who wants to reset their course, having chosen as a child to go knowingly against God's will. Just please indicate and I'll pray with you later.
I feel I want to pray. If you are there, you feel in another area, you are not committed. You really need to be committed. God knows you know. I don't know. But God is speaking to my heart. God, you have decided in your heart, you want to be committed. Could you just take steps? Just come from here. We'll just pray with you together. Yes. Just feel free in your heart. You want really to be committed. You know that there's some area, in an area you are not committed. God is going to help you. God has a purpose in your life. Just take a step. He loves you. That's why he has spoken to you. Welcome. Thank you. Thank you, sister. Thank you. Are you there? Still, God is speaking to your heart. Come. There's somebody who is still trying to consider whether to come here or not. Come. Yes, thank you. And my daughter here, you have raised your hand up. So you come. We just pray together. Come. Just leave that music. Let us bow our head together and pray for the prayer of agreement. God, I thank you for these children of yours. Lord, you love them. You are concerned about their life. You are concerned about their spiritual life. Oh God, you want them to be successful in Christian work. But God, there's a big question mark about commitment. Lord, we have spoken to them. And Lord, they have realized and they have taken step to come before you. God, I don't know, but you know better. Lord, as they have decided in their heart to be committed in that area, Lord, help them. Encourage them. Build them for your glory, for your kingdom. God, you have called them out of darkness to light. And Lord, you have called them for eternal life. Lord, you don't want any of them to miss eternal life. You don't want any of them to miss heaven. God, help them. Uphold them into your hand. Oh God. These are your children. You died on the cross for their sake. You died on the cross to set them free so that they may enjoy, oh God, eternal life. And Lord, no one can help them. Only you who have called them, who have chosen them out of the darkness, and you brought them to light, and they will be light in the world. Lord, bless them. And bless their finance. Bless whatever they are doing. Bless their hand. Lord, you know their purpose in life. Lord, help them to be rooted in you and to be committed in you, and your name will be honored in their life. I thank you, Jesus. I commit them into your hand. God, as a human being, you have nothing to do to them. But Lord, you who created them, you who, oh God, raised them up to this standard, you know them better. God, encourage them and build them for your kingdom. May bless them. Bless the leaders of this church. Bless the pastor. Bless everybody who is doing your work here. May your name be honored and blessed in their life. Thank you, Lord, for prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. 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 Congratulations. May God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. May God bless you. Thank you, Pastor. Yes.
Jesus said, if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you will receive a prophet's reward. If you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you will receive a prophet's reward. And if we allow God to speak to us through people perhaps we don't expect, then we're able to receive what God has put in them. And as Bishop Martin and Bishop Raphael just sit, I'm going to invite us to come around them and to pray for them with the microphone, just so that we can all hear and agree. Please do that now. And if you have a word for them, or a prophecy, or simply prayer, please sit as you wish. Thank you. You're too tall for us. Father, thank you for these two servants. I thank you, God, that you, while they are here, will make a bridge for them. That you'll make a bridge for them to be able to cross a ford, or whatever it may have been that they were unable to cross. Even when they return, they will find situations have changed. And God, thank you that they put you first, that they have left family and flock in South Sudan to come. And God, we desire that they would receive while they are here, but we receive them as you have sent them, and we receive from them what you have for us. In Jesus' name.
Father, we thank you that we can welcome our brothers from South Sudan, Lord. We thank you that they're a gift from you, Lord, and we just receive them as the gift that they are, Lord. We just thank you for their testimony of your goodness through tribulation, Lord. We thank you for the word that they bring this morning, Lord, and we ask that your word that they brought will accomplish its purpose in us as a body, Lord, and we just ask for your peace to be with them, Lord. We ask for your empowering grace to be with them, God. We ask that they will take back revelations from you back to their home, Lord, and we ask for building of bridges back in South Sudan, Lord. We ask for bridges to be built between the churches of South Sudan and London, Lord, that us believers will unite, Lord, support each other, Lord, in prayer, Lord, indeed, Lord, in finance, Lord, wherever it may be, Lord. We ask that your kingdom will come where they are, Lord, and where we are. In Jesus' name, Father. Amen.
Father God, we just thank you for bringing these bishops across to us, Lord. We just know that everything that you plan is part of your bigger plan, Father God, and the people that were here weren't here by accident, Lord, and it wasn't by accident or chance that you brought them here to us today, Lord. I just pray that you look after their families back home while they're not there, Lord God, and you just bless them and just keep them in your safety and in your peace and in your joy, Lord God. when they go back, Lord, I just pray that they continue to make such a big impact on their community as they have been, Lord, and you continue to strengthen them spiritually, financially, emotionally, Lord, as they're a pillar for others, Lord God, and they get their strength from you, Father. So I just pray that they can continue to hold up these two brothers in Christ, Lord, as they continue to do your work. In your mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Never grow weary in doing good, for at a proper time shall receive a reward. God, I just thank you for these two bishops, God, that have come from Africa to bring such a word in season, God. I just thank you for their lives. I thank you for the calling you have on their lives, God, to spread your gospel in Sudan, South Sudan. God, I just pray a blessing, a double blessing on their head, God, and a blessing on their families, Father God. I pray you go before them and behind them, God, and just surround them with your angels, Father. I just pray for their protection, God, that no weapon formed against them will prosper in the name of Jesus. And I just pray you bless their families, God, bless their daughters and their sons, God. And I just pray, yeah, that whatever they do, Lord God, their hands will prosper. And God, I just pray, for their time in the UK, God, that every step that they take, God, will be ordained by you. And I just pray there'll be a blessing to so many other people like they've blessed us. And God, I just want to pray for their church in South Sudan, God. I just pray you protect them, that you would open doors, God. You would give them good health, Father God. I just pray, Holy Spirit, you would just intervene, God. You would make a way where there's no way. I just pray, against the spirit of Islam in that place, in the name of Jesus. And I just proclaim that the name of Jesus will be proclaimed in South Sudan and people will turn to you, God. I pray you make a way where there's no way for your gospel to be proclaimed. And I pray that many lives will be changed in the name of Jesus. Amen.
God, you've said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. And Lord God, I just thank you for Bishop Raphael and Bishop Martin, Lord, and I just thank you for their land, Lord, and I thank you for South Sudan, Lord. And Lord God, I just thank you that you have such plans to prosper their land, Lord. I thank you for the process of nation building through you, Lord. And Lord, I just really pray, in accordance with your will, Lord, that you raise leaders, Lord. I thank you for their commitment to their land. I just pray that you raise leaders in their land, Lord, in South Sudan, Lord, that you bless the generations to come. And Lord, I thank you that you see with an eternal sight, Lord, where we're caught in the moment, Lord. I thank you that you see eternally, Lord. And I just really pray for the nation, that you build up leaders, Lord, in every domain, Lord, in governance, Lord, in education, Lord, in healthcare, in strategy, Lord. And I just really pray, Lord, that you raise Christian leaders in those departments, Lord. And Lord, I just really pray, in anticipation of an already answered prayer, Lord, I thank you that at the moment, Lord, people are migrating out of that country, Lord. But Lord, I just thank you, Lord, in anticipation of an answered prayer, Lord, because that will be a place where people will want to come, Lord, and with generations, Lord. And under your guidance and your countenance, Lord, South Sudan will be a place where people can prosper, Lord. And I just really pray for every person involved in that battle, Lord, involved in that harvest, Lord, that at the moment they're sowing, Lord, but that nation shall reap. In Jesus' name, amen.
God, thank you that they have royal blood. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are their head and that you lead them. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you guide them and that you guide them into all truth as they guide others. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for an increased deposit of your wisdom as they lead. And God, thank you that there is a rich vein that you have for them. Lord Jesus, thank you that you, as their head, have already provided for every need that they have. And Lord, thank you that you will show them the means of your provision. Lord, thank you that you are never short, that you are never weak, that you are never caught unawares by the enemy. God, we thank you that you are the one who determines history, that Lord Jesus, you will be glorified. And thank you that you are glorified through them. God, I pray that for strength, as they and others meet over the next few days, that there will be a unity and agreement that they have never known previously, and that what you forge while they're here in the hotel in Heathrow will be impacted by what they've all received and what they've all given in churches this morning across this nation, across this city. Thank you that they, as they have sown, will reap. And God, I thank you that they will be the first to taste of their hard work. God, thank you they do not do it for themselves, but they serve you. And as they serve you, God, thank you that you're pleased and that you say, well done. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have any prayer need that hasn't been met so far, then please don't leave this room before it's been met. We'll have some food served very shortly just behind. But please don't leave if, for whatever reason, the process has started and it isn't yet complete, or if maybe you were reluctant during the course of the service and you need one more invitation, please come to the front and there'll be people here to minister to you.